Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Hey, what are you up to?
Oh, hi. I'm listening to this awesome podcast.
Ooh, I love finding awesome new podcasts. What is it about?
Well, it's about a bunch of things. Sometimes history, sometimes hauntings, sometimes it's spooky, and sometimes it's funny, but it's always interesting.
Ooh, okay, that sounds great. What's special about it?
Well, each week, Celine picks a topic and reads it, and Matt creates a pairing of a treat and a drink to go with this peculiar tale.
And they
talk about it, and they joke about it.
Hold on.
And sometimes they have guests and have even more fun.
Wait a second.
What?
That's our podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
Why are you listening to our podcast?
Well, you know, we're heading into the long dark of winter, and that can make some people feel kind of isolated, and listening to Peculiar Pairings is a great way to feel like you're hanging out with good friends at the push of a button.
Well, that actually sounds really nice. Kind of sounds like everyone should be listening to Peculiar Pairings.
You know, I couldn't agree more.
So if this sounds like it's piqued your interest, you should search Peculiar Pairings podcast on your favorite podcasting platform today.
Yeah, we're everywhere. Come check it out.
Find us. We're there.
In a world filled with mysteries, where the unknown lurks in the shadows, two intrepid hosts dare to uncover the truth. Join Glenn and Oma on a journey into the realm of caffeinated conspiracies, now a part of the Pod Moth Network.
Hey, I'm Glenn.
And I'm Oma.
Together, we explore the unexplained, from ancient legends to modern-day enigmas.
Join us as we delve into the depths of conspiracy theories, paranormal phenomena, and everything in between.
With a blend of curiosity, laughter, and a dash of caffeine, they'll take you on a wild ride through the mysteries of the universe.
So grab your favorite brew, sit back, and let's uncover the truth together.
Because truth, like coffee, is best served bold.
Caffeinated Conspiracies. Get ready to awaken your mind.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us once again on another Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy episode.
Yes, thanks for joining us.
What story do you have for us today, Mom?
I'm going to be talking about Ed Gein, who also has the nicknames of the Plainfield Ghoul or the Butcher of Plainfield. He gets two names. He's fancy. But he's one of the killers who inspired the fictional character Buffalo Bill in the movie Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, he had some some strange things in his house.
Episode 88, we talked about Gary Heidnik, who was another murderer that inspired the same movie character. That they both had weird things about them, but
probably the scariest movie villain. Like, I mean,
one of them for sure.
Silence of the Lambs is, I guess he's not the main villain, but like,
no, he's not, but definitely a memorable character.
Yeah. He's a terrifying guy, but
definitely. What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to be talking about the Green Children of Woolpit.
Oh,
and to go with that.
Yeah. Okay.
To go with that, I have a very green cocktail called the Shamrock Midori Melon Martini.
Mm-hmm.
A fucking mouthful.
For sure. Very long name for this cocktail.
So to make this cocktail.
There's more words in the name of the cocktail than there are ingredients. There are ingredients,
yeah. True, true.
Yes.
So to make this, it's a 1/2 ounce of Midori, 1/2 ounce of vodka, 1/2 ounce of orange juice, and however much ice you want to shake it with.
Right. It's nice and green. I hope it doesn't turn us green. Uh-oh.
I mean, I think we'll be okay. Let's shake it up and give it a try.
Okay. Let's go.
It's very green. And it is green. Not very tasty.
Oh. I mean, if you like melon liqueur, it's really melony.
The orange juice isn't enough to cut through the melon.
It's honestly. Not. It doesn't do anything to mask the melon. I guess it would
taste like melon.
Dissolve the sweetness a little bit. I made green. The recipe you sent me had the garnishes to rim your cocktail glass with green sugar. And so just for funsies, I did that.
Yes. And it looked very green.
It's fun. And your dad saw me making the green sugar and he goes, I saw you doing that. And it didn't faze me until it was done. And why are you doing that? I was like, because I have to garnish my martini glass with it. So I think the green sugar tastes cool. Better than the cocktail.
Yeah, for real. But it's a cool little garnish. Cool. Just have green sugar on a very green drink.
Yeah.
But
that drink is not good. That is a toss down the drain drink. That's a drain. Mm.
It's not good. I'm not going to finish it, but
no way. Okay. That's why we should have like a backup drink that we're like, okay, this is my backup drink is water. Yeah, my backup drink's always water. So
my backup drink is White Claw Surge.
Oh, that works too. Okay, tell me about these green children.
All right, so imagine this. It's the 12th century. You're a farmer in a small English village called Woolpit. And one day, while checking the wolf traps, yes, those were a thing. There were so many wolves here that they had to make traps for the wolves.
I didn't know there were wolves in England. I don't know why I didn't know that.
I mean,
back in the 12th century. Maybe
whole century. I think they're replaced with foxes now.
Okay.
I think they have a large fox population in England.
They do have. Yes, I believe so. Okay. Sorry.
So while you're trekking your wolf traps, you find two young children standing near them, but they're not just any kids. They're wearing weird clothes. They speak a language you've never heard and their skin is green.
Okay.
Yes.
That's weird. I would not want to find that.
It's weird to find kids on your property. Yes.
Yes.
The fact that they're green is very strange.
Super gross. I mean, I wouldn't be concerned about the fact that they're speaking an unknown language so much as the fact that they're green.
Yeah. I don't know a lot of languages. I literally only know English and I barely speak it. So
sometimes I don't.
Yeah. So these green kids just show up on this farm in England.
Okay. Creepy.
And not speaking any language we ever heard. So, Woolpit is a small village in Suffolk, England. The name actually comes from Wolf Pit because people used to dig big holes to trap wolves.
Okay. So the wolves were a big deal there.
Yeah. And okay. To deal with the wolves, they just dug holes in the ground.
Okay. Makes sense.
This story probably happened during the reign of King Stephen, which would place it around 1135 to 1154.
Okay.
Like a long
long time ago. Ass time ago. Yep.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on around there, like civil wars and stuff, and I think they were fighting with Ireland around that time. They've always been fighting with Ireland, but
Ireland, Scotland, you name it, they're fighting with somebody.
Back then, they were really into religion, so the appearance of these green children really threw them through a loop.
Yeah.
So here's what we know so far. Ralph of Coggenshall.
Okay.
And William of Newburgh. They wrote about this story a few decades before it supposedly happened. But the story goes, two kids, a boy and a girl, were found near one of the wolf pits. And they looked healthy, confused, and scared. They didn't speak English or any language that the villagers recognized. Just imagine, like, some green kids show up speaking Japanese, like.
Yeah. It could be. They wouldn't necessarily know back then.
1100 England. Yeah, it's
no, you
completely
wouldn't know.
Different language. Their skin was literally green, though. Like snap pea green.
Okay, I was wondering, like, how green? Are we talking mint green or are we talking emerald green?
Yes. Emerald mint green, snap pea, vegetable green.
Vegetable green, okay.
They were taken in by a local nobleman named Sir Richard D. Clane? I don't fucking know. Taken in by a nobleman. C-A-L-N-E.
Calne? Calney, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. The kids refused to eat any food for days. They didn't touch a thing until someone gave them raw broad beans. I'm not really sure what broad beans are. I think it's probably some weird British food.
Old beans.
British people eat
1100 food, beans.
They like beans in England, so.
Let's see.
Slowly after they started eating, they started eating more foods. So after they ate the beans, they're like, okay, I guess these people aren't trying to poison us. They're giving us different foods. And after eating these foods, their green skin turned to a more natural color. So maybe they were just super malnourished, but you don't turn green from that.
No. So I looked up broad beans, and it just is a green bean. It's like a
green bean. Okay.
A fava bean. Like, it's a wide bean, but it's just a green bean. So if they're eating beans that are green and it doesn't turn them greener, but it actually normalizes their color.
Pale, pink, whatever color they were back then. Probably right. Pale in England.
I know that when you eat an excess of certain vegetables, it will affect your skin.
But like carrots, you have to eat like your weight in carrots to turn orange.
True, but it does affect your skin. So I wonder if they only ate
green colored beans.
But then eating the green beans normalized their color. So that's weird, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing's weird.
Unfortunately, the boy didn't survive long.
No.
Yeah. He died shortly after being baptized. So it's a very religious time. So
they
obviously baptized the kids just to...
Right. To be on the safe side. And then he dies. So did they think that he was
evil? Find some green kids, like...
You're gonna... Yeah.
Your first step is to baptize them, obviously.
Yes.
You gotta make sure those kids are spiritual.
They're like baptism and food, but work on the baptism first.
So the girl survived and she eventually learned English and started to explain where she and her brother had come from. Okay. She claimed that they were from a place called St. Martin's Land, which she said was a twilight world. We're getting into the twilight zone here.
Twilight world. So it's always dark there.
Yeah. It was literally always dark, but never fully dark. It was like
Iceland.
6 o'clock in the morning on like
Iceland in the wintertime. Or Northern Alaska in the wintertime. Arctic Circle in the wintertime.
It sounded like March at 6 a.m. Like, okay. Where you could see just enough light to see, but like you could, there it was basically dark.
But if it's like that all the time, which is like the winter in the Arctic Circle, imagine, it's dark all the time.
Imagine it's dark all the time and you come to our world and it's just, well, I guess England is pretty dark because of the clouds, but
still, it would be obnoxious. And
it blinds you. Yeah.
It would be obnoxious.
So everyone there had green skin and they lived underground or in a shadowy land separated from ours by a huge river and a chasm. So.
Weird.
Yeah. It sounds like the Columbia River, but.
Yeah.
But Washington is the part where it's dark land and they come over to Portland. Right.
Yeah. It's still dark and gray and rainy and cloudy and gross.
Yeah. So one day the siblings were out and they heard they were herding cattle. And when they heard a strange sound like bells, they followed it, entering a dark cave. After walking a long time, they came out into sunlight, which they had never seen before. That's how they ended up in Woolpit. So,
okay.
Supposedly, they walked through a cave. Have you seen the show Dark, I think is what it's called on Netflix?
Yes.
Kind of what it sounds like.
It does sound like that. They walk through a cave
and it teleports them to another world, but.
Oof.
As she grew older, she became a part of English society. Some accounts say she became a servant in St. Richard's household, and others suggest she eventually married a king from King Lynn.
Not to pause you, but Lulu is feeling frisky. Yeah,
she's going crazy.
She is bouncing all over Lulu Bean.
She put her face. Her ass right in my face.
I know. And now she's like jumping and stuff. I've never seen her that active.
Oh, yeah. She loves to cause problems when I record. Whenever I sit on this chair, she causes problems. But
oh, okay. Sorry to distract you.
Yes. So there's a couple of theories. Yes. Okay. Some believe this is just folklore, and it got its elements in medieval fairy tale. So
it was all made up.
Were real. Yes, I mean it's hard to tell because it's it happened 1,000 years ago.
A long time ago, yeah.
But
almost literally,
some believe they were Flemish refugees.
Are Flemish people known to be green?
I don't think so. I've never seen a green person before, but
neither have I.
Apparently, a lot of Flemish people settled in eastern England around that time, but they were often persecuted. Some villagers were attacked and destroyed. And the idea here is that these two children are orphaned, got lost in the chaos, and ended up in Woolpit.
Okay.
Some believe their green skin was from malnutrition or anemia, but that doesn't turn you green. It just turns you like very, very pale. Like white pale. So,
not buying that.
I don't know. Specifically, there's a condition called, let's see if I get this right, chlorosis. CHLORISIS. Which can
maybe chloresis.
Chloresis. It can give you a green hue to your skin, but that's not very typical.
Like the root of chloroform, maybe.
Yeah. Or
chlorophyll. Chlorophyll, yeah. Chlorophyll. Not chloroform. Yeah. Don't use chloroform, no. People. Well,
chloroform is a knockout drug, but
maybe
chloresis is greening of the skin.
Okay. Apparently. Makes sense.
But
I've never heard or seen that before.
I've never heard or seen it before either.
Okay. Do they know what causes chloresis or chloresis? Or... Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So another idea is that the kids came from a nearby isolated village that was cut off from the rest of the world, meaning that they think they lived underground, which would, if they came out through a cave,
makes
then
sense.
Maybe.
But yeah. How you getting cattle down there?
That's a good question. Maybe they had their own.
How big of a cave does it have to be to house cattle? And how many cattle are there?
We can get into a whole... There's a hollow earth theory that we can go into, but that's...
True.
I don't know anything about
it. No, we're not going there.
Yeah, it's too confusing to go into.
Yes,
so.
I don't get it.
Another theory is that they were aliens.
Of course, well...
Yeah, a green...
Well, there's gray aliens. Why can't there be green aliens? I mean, has anybody seen... Bugs Bunny and Marvin the Martian. Yeah. He's green.
He was black. Marvin the Martian was black. Yeah. He had a green helmet, I think.
Maybe that's it.
Marvin the Martian's black. I'm pretty...
Look.
I'll put money on it. I'm pretty sure Marvin the Martian was black.
Why do I think he's green?
I think he had a green helmet.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah. He has a green helmet and a green skirt dress. Skirt. You're right. Kilt. Let's go with kilt. Okay. Yes. And his helmet is kind of Spartan-like. He's got a green Spartan helmet, and he wears a kilt and a red shirt. Interesting.
You didn't know that about Marvin the Martian?
I haven't looked at Marvin the Martian in decades.
Oh, I could. I haven't looked at
literally
him either,
decades.
I could picture him in my mind.
For some reason, I thought he was green. The helmet.
I mean, there probably are green Martians. I don't know.
Sure. Somewhere.
Yeah. There was no explanation for why these kids were green, why they were in Woolpit. They just kind of showed up.
Where they came from.
Yeah. And that's the story. These random
weird
green kids just showed up in this... Medieval. Is that medieval?
I think it is.
1100s?
I think so.
Yeah, medieval.
You said something about two guys that published a story about it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people that made stories about this. This is like kind of a... So we have like fairy tales and princes and princesses. Like they're, like English folklore is a lot of... It includes this. There's like the hounds of Mordor, but
yeah,
Dudor, something like
so
that.
So, did the story come out? Did you say the story came out before the reports of the green kids?
Before the reports, story came out with the reports of the green kids. I think. I mean, okay. I thought that question was a little confusing.
Yeah, the whole story is confusing.
Yeah, the whole thing is. But these random green kids just showed up. So.
Well.
Super weird.
I need
weird.
To know. It's definitely
Let
weird.
Let us know your guys' theories in the comments or our DMs. Go ahead and let us know what you think these green kids are.
What caused their green skin and why the boy died. I'm curious.
It kind of reminds me of the Virginia story. Like one of the Martians died because they were on this. They got fed something that they weren't supposed to eat. Like, but the fact that the girl lived, it's kind of weird. So
yeah, it is weird. Very strange.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Tell us your story.
Are you ready to hear about the Butcher of Plainfield?
Yes,
I okay. am. Edward Theodore Gein was born on August 27th, 1906 in La Crosse, Wisconsin. His parents were George and Augusta Gein. He had an older brother, Henry. Gein was very close to his mother, who was very religious. She tried to instill her religion and ideals in both of her sons. She would read to them daily from the Bible and tell them stories about sins and sinners. She really kind of skewed a lot of those stories towards women and told her sons that women were the tools of the devil. I don't necessarily disagree with that. Some women. And she used promiscuity for their, that the women as their method of being tools of the devil would use sex basically to further their devilish agenda, which again, I don't necessarily disagree with that assessment for some people. Her Bible focus often circled around death, murder, and retribution, which I think is kind of a common theme in a lot of Bible stories and religious stories. Not always, but there's a little skew of like, be good or you're going to die kind of thing sometimes.
Yeah, in most religious
right. stories. Be good or you will be smited or smote or whatever the term is. The family soon moved to a rural farm with 155 acres in Plainfield, Wisconsin, which allowed Augusta to further isolate the family. She would often turn away any type of visitor, preventing outside influences over the Gein sons. Both boys did leave the farm to attend school, but Ed was very shy, and his efforts to make friends at school were ruined by his mother, because she would punish him for trying to make friends. Don't make wow. friends.
Okay.
Don't talk to outsiders. Yeah.
Very different from most parental right. outlook.
Yes.
It's like, I want you to have friends. Nope. Don't
right.
make any
friends.
You
can't have friends because friends are evil and women are promiscuous and tools of the devil. Even if his mother hadn't gotten in the way of his attempts to make friends, he likely would have scared a few of them off with his strange behaviors anyway. Classmates and teachers noted that he often laughed himself for no apparent reason. Basically, like, he had an inside joke inside his head, and that would make him laugh, and they were like, what's going on with that guy over there? Nobody knew. When Gein was 34, his father died suddenly from heart failure. Both Gein's sons then took to helping their mother financially by doing odd jobs for people around town. Ed would also earn money by babysitting children, which in light of who he ends up becoming is kind of terrifying to think that this guy was babysitting children. He seemed to get along better with children than he did with adults. With the exception of his mother, he was very close to his mother. In fact, they were so close that Henry, his brother, found the connection odd and would make comments about it to Ed. Any negative comments about their mother caused Ed a lot of distress and upset. He did not like his brother talking shit about their mom. It was not cool for him. The family suffered another loss 4 years later when Ed's brother Henry was found dead in the field of the family farm. At the time, it was believed that Henry had either died from heart failure when he had been burning some brush around the property, or that he had asphyxiated in the fire. The fire got out of control and had to be put out by the fire department.
After asphyxiated in a fire. That's a rough way to go, because that means you burn for a long time.
Yeah, You died from smoke inhalation. Which, not
very
cool.
Rough.
Not what you'd want. After the fire was taken care of, Ed noted that Henry was gone and the property was searched. That's when they found Henry's body. It wasn't until years later that the nature of Henry's death was questioned, some believing that Ed might have played a hand in it. There were some reports that Henry's body had bruising around the head, which would not be explained by heart failure or the fire. However, an autopsy was not performed, so even though there might have been suspicions, nothing could have been proven. Because they were like, Henry died, bury him, and that was pretty much it. They didn't look any further. So if there was bruising, it wasn't documented. If there was asphyxiation, that wasn't documented either.
And how old was this person?
I believe he was in his like late 30s, early 40s, something like that. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Could be wrong.
Because I Maybe can't remember if it's Ed Gein or not Dahmer, the clown guy.
Oh, Gacy. Busey.
Gacy,
not Busey, not the actor Gary Busey.
No, but
although he's weird too.
One of those people was involved in an AK thing, like not in the exact thing, but a similar, like they were involved with, and you know what? It's so dark. I don't want to.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. But one of those guys, I think it was Gacy. But
okay, with Henry's death, there really wasn't anything that they did. They think if anything, Henry's comments about their mom might have led Ed to kill him, and then the fire got out of control, or that maybe he really did die of heart failure. But there was some questions about, I saw in a few sources that Ed led them directly to the body. But then I saw that in another source that the property was searched and that's how they found Henry. So I don't know. Nobody knows, because they found the body and then they just buried him. They didn't do any kind of an autopsy or anything like that.
Gein had some weird shit at his house, right?
Yes, we're going to get into that. Okay. Yeah. Yes, we are. Okay. Not long after Henry's death, their mother had a stroke, leaving her paralyzed. Gein became even closer to his mother after this, and he became her sole caretaker. When she died after another stroke at the end of 1945, it left Gein alone in the house. He boarded up any rooms that his mother used frequently and basically preserved them. He didn't go into them. He didn't use them. He essentially lived in like one little room and the kitchen. And I saw a picture of the kitchen and it was like hoarder central. I don't know how they found some of the stuff that they found in this place, but it would be nasty to find the stuff. We're going to go into what they found because it was cool. Not in great detail, yeah. Though. He continued to live at the farm and made money by doing odd jobs for people around town. Now alone, he started getting interested in specific kinds of reading. Since childhood, he had been an avid reader, but after his mother's death, the reading seemed to take a darker interest. He specifically sought out books on Nazis and cannibals, our favorite.
Every, like, shitty person we talk about has read cannibals. Nazi books.
And cannibals. Yeah.
Cannibal, not so much, but Nazi books.
They dig
books
the Nazi stuff. Yeah.
Seem to be.
This is the 50s, so it's real close to Nazi era.
Yeah, that's.
So, I mean, that is a little bit, you know, you'd be, I think, a little bit more curious about it back then than perhaps today. But I don't True. Know. One specific topic interested him greatly, and that was a Nazi war criminal who was the wife of one of the Nazi commandants, I believe. This woman would select prisoners.
We probably adopted them in Project Paperclip or whatever it's called.
I don't know. I think this one, she was pretty notorious, and I
and I'll tell you why.
We took a lot of Nazi party for Project Paperclip.
Yeah.
That's another story that we'll cover at a later
date. Yeah, for sure. So she would select prisoners for execution based on their tattoos because she wanted to turn their skin into lampshades and display as artwork.
And how is this person related to Gein? Sorry, I missed that part.
She was the wife of one of the Nazi commandants. So she wasn't related to Gein at all. But he liked to read a lot of books and stories about her because he found her very interesting.
I kind of know where the story is going, and I'm just trying to figure out where. Okay.
We'll get there. Not too long, we're going to get there. Gein lived alone for several years after his mother's death without an apparent incident. But in 1957, that changed. I say apparent because we're going to come back. On November 16, 1957, hardware store owner Bernice Worden disappeared from the store where the cash register was left open and blood was found nearby. Her son, who happened to be a deputy sheriff, noted that Gein was the last customer the night before, and he was supposed to return that morning to purchase antifreeze. The last written receipt was for antifreeze. So, of course, they think Gein's coming back. He's going to buy antifreeze. The last thing she wrote a thing for was antifreeze, so it must have been Gein. So they go and arrest him. Because apparently weird connections and suspicions like that back then were just like, go for it. Let's go get this guy.
I mean, it points right to one person. If you're going to go buy antifreeze and you buy antifreeze and then you kill the lady.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a real thin thread for them to arrest him.
Investigate, definitely. Investigate. Yes. That's one
thing. So they did get him, and then they went to his house and his farm, and they searched it, and they found some really gross things. They found Bernice's decapitated body. It was located in a shed on the property. She had been shot, hung by her ankles, with her arms tied together. The body had been dressed out like a deer, which had happened after her death.
So dressed like it, like hung up by her feet and let the blood out?
Skinned and organs and, yeah, she was a deer.
Ugh. Jesus Christ. Yeah, when you dress a deer, you hang them up by their hooves and let the blood out. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's rough.
In the home, police found equally disturbing things. They found... yes, I condensed it rather than making a really long list. Well, but the list, like, I got a list off of some of the sources, and I was like, you didn't have to say all of those words.
Like, okay, but you
didn't have to put that some of the things they found, they put an age on them as teenagers. How would they know that? I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, so they found Bernice's head. From the body in the shed, they found her head. They found whole and partial human bones. There was clothing and furniture made or covered in human skin. Human skulls.
What furniture? There's one specifically.
Well, there were chairs that were covered in human skin. There were lampshades.
Lampshade, that's the one.
There were
there's a lampshade made out of human skin.
There's that's the one stuff. I wanted you to talk about. There was stuff, yeah. Human skulls were found, which had the tops removed. Some of them were whole. Some of them had the tops removed, and some had been made into bowls, like to eat your cereal from.
Oh my God!
Blech. Masks had been made from facial skin. So
the that inspired the Buffalo Bill, right?
Yes. Yes, but also others. We're going to talk about other movie characters that he inspired.
The TV show that he was in? Mind Hunter. Yes. I think it was season one. He was one of the main. They went to him like they did.
No. You're thinking of somebody else.
Ed Gein? I thought it was Ed Gein. No, the big motherfucker that was.
Yeah, it's not Ed Gein.
It's not?
No. I can't off the top of my head think of who it was.
You know what I'm talking about.
It was a serial killer in California who did bad things to his mom's
Ed
decapitated
Kemper?
Head. Yes, there you go. Thank you.
Ed Kemper. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They also found female genitals and nipples that had been made into clothing accessories.
Okay, so the reason there was I'm laughing is because I'm picturing like a button up, and instead of the button, it's just nipples.
No, it was a belt.
A belt?
A belt of nipples.
I'm trying to even think of what that looks like.
Have you ever seen, so you probably haven't, because
like
this was something.
Skin?
Yeah, maybe. I didn't see any pictures. I don't want to see any pictures of the nipple belt. But back in the 80s and probably early 90s, there were belts that had like a silver medallion on them, like around the belt. And that's what I was thinking that this might look like. I don't know, but then there was stuff like he used the genitals for different things too. But there were also other body parts that had been removed and placed in various locations around the house. So, you know, there's like, yeah, it's gory and gross.
He's got a lamp that's like the
I think it's like the pull strings on the
Christmas
lamp
story.
Were like, I don't think that like a full leg.
It's from,
No, I think there was something. I think there was something to do with like some female genital parts that were hanging from like a cord or something. It's just nasty. It's nasty. I said before that he appeared to have no incidents until 1957, but after the discovery of Bernice's body and the rest of the body parts found in his home, he confessed to killing Mary Hogan 3 years before. Mary Hogan was a local tavern owner who had been missing since December 1954. Gein admitted to killing Mary, but said he couldn't recall many of the details surrounding her death. Mary's head was found in the house, and her face had been made into one of the masks. So,
oh my God.
A face mask. Mask or face mask? I don't know. It's a mask.
Face mask.
It's a, for real, face mask.
A face mask, yes.
A face Ugh. Mask, yes. All of the human pieces found in Gein's house were from more than Mary and Bernice, though. So, because he had a belt made of nipples, where did all of these and female genitals, where did all these body parts come from, basically?
So, was he a taxidermist?
No.
Quote, unquote, no. How did he learn how to make lampshades and belts out of...
Right. Where did he get all of these parts? I'm going to tell you.
Well, no, how did he learn? Like, if he wasn't a taxidermist, how... Did someone show him how to make?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how he learned that skill, but how he gained those parts was because he was a grave robber. And he admitted to robbing at least 9 graves, taking some or all of the corpse and its associated parts. Out of 9 graves. He even showed police which graves he had robbed. Several of the graves were checked to corroborate his story. So they like dug up the grave and then looked inside the casket and they were like, oh, some of the body is missing. Oh, only part of the body is missing. Oh, this one has the whole body missing. So, yeah, they did corroborate that part of his story. He just did it. He would go in the day of or a few days after a new body had been buried and he would rob the grave.
Okay.
Yep. He also admitted that he was using the skin from the stolen graves to make a woman's suit.
It puts on its lotion. Yep.
With the intent of wearing it to become his mother.
Oh my God. Okay, the question is, could this be stopped with therapy? But I don't think.
No. I don't think so. I'm sorry.
Because this is a very, this is therapy a therapist's wet dream.
Therapist is grace. I'm not saying anything bad about therapy, but think you can become your mother by creating a woman on her skin. Suit, not even her skin, the skin of other people.
This is a therapist wet dream. If we have any therapist in the comments, please let us know what you would do with this person.
If you think you could help this. I don't know. Okay. Yep. Gein's initial confession was thrown out after it was reported that he was assaulted by the sheriff during his interrogation. The sheriff died. Yes. His confession was thrown out because the sheriff beat him up. And they were like, you can't do that.
That's what they did back then.
Back then.
They beat you up.
1957. Imagine you find all the shit they found in that guy's house. How do you not punch him in the face?
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
Right?
You'd have to. That's right. The easiest. Consequences.
Gein was arrested for murder in 1957, and he pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. I don't disagree with that assessment. Psychological evaluation diagnosed him with schizophrenia, and found him unfit to stand trial. He was placed in a state hospital for the criminally insane for 11 years until it was determined that he could participate in his own defense, which is when they said, let's put him on trial. So in 1968, he stood trial for the murder of Bernice Worden. The trial was conducted without a jury, so the judge was the only one determining Gein's fate. He was found guilty, but later the judge ruled that Gein was insane, so he was ordered back to the mental hospital where he lived for the rest of his life. So thankfully, they didn't let him out. But we talked about this. Gein was suspected in several other missing persons cases, but he passed a polygraph for those, so his involvement was ruled out. But as we discussed in episode 135, those tests are not completely reliable, especially back in the 1950s when it was still kind of a newer technology. They were like, oh, he passed this test that we just recently made up, so he didn't do it. Regardless, he still is ruled insane, so you can't put him in prison. They were like, he's sitting in a mental hospital forever. So,
yeah, good.
As I mentioned before, Gein was one of the killers who inspired Buffalo Bill, but his antics also inspired other fictional characters, including Norman Bates in Psycho. Norman Bates. Because he had them.
In the original.
Oh, well, the book Psycho, okay, and then the Hitchcock movie Psycho, and and the show the Bates Scream Motel. Mask. No, not the
Because Bates Motel is completely different.
Kind of, yeah. The Bates Motel is younger years.
That's such a good show. If you guys haven't seen that show, please watch Bates Motel.
But... I'm talking about the old black and white movie Psycho, where Norman Bates pretends to be his mother sitting in. You might not have ever seen it. It's a terror. It's a creepy old movie. It does withstand the test of time.
Because American Psycho is
not that one.
Way different. But and that's got a whole list of super artistic, and there's some artistic takes on it, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to have artistic takes on a guy making skin.
Right. Ugh. He also inspired Leatherface and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
Makes sense because he had face masks.
Yeah.
Garland Green and Con Air, which I have seen Con Air several times and I don't remember Garland Green, but that is supposedly one of the characters. And he inspired Dr. Oliver Thredson in American Horror Story Asylum.
What season was that?
That I want to say that was number 2, where they were in the mental hospital, and it was a good season. I liked that season, not as much as the first one. The first season of American Horror Story, in my opinion, was the absolute best, and then they all just kind of went downhill from there.
The first season was really good.
Absolutely,
the one with Roanoke was okay too.
Not bad. Dean died in the mental institution at 77 years old from respiratory failure. And that is all about...
He never left the mental institution, which is good. Nope.
He stayed there.
A lot of these stories, the people do leave.
Right, and then you're like, wait a second, they're still insane. I'm sorry, you made a belt out of nipples. That's not a sane thing to do.
Graham Young, is that the poison guy that we talked about?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, that guy was in a mental institution and killed someone in there and got out still. So
it's good maybe,
to see that they actually work.
I'm going to show you a belt. Maybe the belt was like this.
Maybe. What do you mean? You didn't look up the pictures?
No, I didn't look up the nipple belt. I don't even know if I could find that. But maybe it looked like this.
Find it.
This is from Amazon. I don't know that I want to see it.
I mean, doing the Issei Sagawa.
I don't want to see any of those.
I didn't want to see the pictures, but I saw them. So.
Well, you could look it up if you really, really want to see it. I don't want to see it. Anyway.
Those got to be some big nipples if they make that belt that you just showed me.
Well, that's true. No, I was thinking like, I wonder.
I'm imagining like ostrich skin. Like where there's just like, because ostrich skin looks like nipples. I'm not going to lie, but.
Yes, it does. Okay, this was more of what I was thinking about. I don't know if you can see it. See how it's leather and then it's just got metal medallions equally spaced? So maybe it was a leather belt it was the accessory belt was accessorized with... I don't know. I don't want to know. Let's change our palette. Tell me a chaser.
Okay, so my chaser is... I've done it before. It's not my full chaser, but you guys have to watch the new episode of White Lotus. It's so crazy.
Don't give me any spoilers because we haven't started it yet. We're gonna binge it.
You have to start it. It's such a good show.
But my real chaser.
Six or seven, I want to say.
Okay.
I'm gonna wait
a couple more weeks.
It's building up, but
okay, good.
My real chaser is the movie Hitman, Agent 47. So there's the Netflix Hitman with the, I can't remember the actor's name, but there's a video game called The Hitman. And it's based on a bald guy that has a barcode on the back of his head. That's the only thing. That's his only identification. He doesn't have a name. Barcode. He's just Agent 47. And it's played by the guy, Justified. What's the main character's name?
Raylan Givens.
Oliphant.
Oh, Timothy Oliphant.
It's played by Timothy Oliphant. And he's basically just, he was bred to be an assassin.
Oh.
And they made 10 games probably on Hitman, and they finally made a movie about it. And the movie's,
wait a second.
I'm Hitman not gonna say Agent, it's the best movie.
Hitman Agent 47?
Yes.
That's a 10-year-old movie.
Yeah.
Okay. There's, I thought you were 10, saying it was brand new.
No. There's like 10 games on Hitman, like 10 Hitman games. Okay, like,
I getcha.
It's a long lineage of games, and they made a movie about it. But I didn't know Timothy Oliphant was the main character.
He's not like, in the movie.
Yeah, he is. He's He is the Hitman.
No, I'm looking at IMDb for that movie, and it doesn't have him listed anywhere.
Okay, hang on.
We might be thinking maybe I found a different movie or something. Because I don't see Timothy Oliphant in here at all.
Let me just clarify.
The 2007,
the movie Hitman.
He's an awesome character.
Okay.
Oh, no. So, I looked up one from 2015.
There's like four movies called Hitman.
Yeah.
Because one came out 2 years ago, last year. Something like that with a guy pretends to be a hitman, but this Timothy Oliphant is
it was
the first Hitman movie,
not Hitman Agent 47.
Yeah,
Hitman is from 2007.
It was just Hitman,
but... and the one Agent 47 is okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Agent 47 one. I've just seen Hitman. Is like a good movie because it's kind of close to the video games, but like
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's a good watch.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yes. What's your chaser?
My chaser is that, well, it's not news to you, but it's news to everybody else, that we did the Shanghai tunnel tours, which we really talked about in, what did we decide? It was episode 11, I think it was.
I think so. That's what Dad kept saying.
Way back at the beginning. I looked it up when we went on the tour itself. So yes, Shanghai Tunnels. We did that episode 11. And we finally made it. We've been trying for 5 years to go on this silly tunnel tour. Is it really 5 years?
It wasn't quite that long.
It was a good, okay, let me clarify. It was a interesting tour, but we did not get to go down any tunnels because the tunnels have been closed off. So we basically went into the basement of the Old Town Pizza in Portland. And it was cool. Yeah, basically. And there was spooky stuff that they talked about. But it was nice that we got to finally do it and see some interesting stuff. And people talked about their like own personal ghost experiences. And then the tour guide, whose name was Gary, I believe. Shout out to Gary if he's hearing this. He talked about some of the other creepy things that had happened to employees of the restaurant and spooky things that they had seen and some videos or pictures that had been taken from other people, and it was very interesting. And it was an hour and a half long tour, and it was cool.
It was pretty cool. I would recommend anyone that plays like Uncharted or like the new Indiana Jones game to go down and do the tour, because it felt very cool just like ducking beneath pipes and walking through the underground infrastructure. Like, it was pretty cool.
And it was
at the end of the tour, there's like, we go to this, I mean, it's obviously a fake setup bar, but there's a bar down there that is really cool. Like, they have
it's
cool
a nice bar.
Stained glass and like,
yeah. Like
it's pretty cool
stained glass. And that's where I got the spooky picture that I had taken with the green orb that was in the floor that could not explain. That was that I took a lot of pictures, and that was the only one that I saw anything weird on. So
it was a very cool tour. I would recommend anyone in the area just go and check it out.
And
I mean, it's like what was it, 30 minutes, if that?
No, it was like an hour by the time we were all done with like,
well, yeah,
because they give you a beer
40
tasting
minutes of
and
telling you stories and shit.
Yeah. And the pizza there was good. I liked the pizza. I think we all liked the pizza. It was really tasty. And the pizza parlor has been there for 50 plus years. So definitely good pizza. Highly recommend it.
Yes. Okay, I think that wraps us up for today's episode.
It does. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, thanks for joining us. Go ahead and give us a follow, give us a like, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts.
Yes,
and Apple share Podcasts. Us with your friends.
Yes, go ahead and the best promotion is word of mouth. So tell us about
absolutely.
Tell all your friends. Go ahead and give us a follow. All that fun stuff.
Thanks, right, everybody. Love you too, bud. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.